else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans.
Let's go, Buffalo!
By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast alongside Alex Jones. I am Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. As we're through OTAs and training camp coming up at the end of next month in July, but we're kind of at that point in the period where we're seeing some, you know, re-signings across the NFL, things like that. But for the Bills, I'd say at this point, it's about getting anxious, and that is for training camp around the corner. All right, so they had OTAs last week here in Orchard Park. Thoughts so far, I mean, there's not a lot. They don't have pads, so, you know, we can only take what we will, but it's good to see action. Guys like Keon Coleman, who we're kind of hyped to see this year, to get some time on the field.
Yeah, exactly, Brad. You know, it's excited to see these guys on the field for the first time, it seems like, outside some, you know, more sterilized version of things. But it is exciting to see, you know, that sense of hope is in the air, kind of have everything available to you. And it's going to be really interesting to see how this team turns out. There's going to be a lot of people who think this team takes a big step back. But when you have had such a successful franchise over the years, you know, it's always safe to bet on those organizations who seem to put it together no matter who's on the field.
And you know what? Just saying, I feel like that they've, and they being the national media, painted a picture that, you know, Buffalo's been taking a step back basically every year. Like every year going into the season is what I'm saying is that, you know, I don't think the Bills will win the division. We win it again. I mean, honestly, I think this team is better without the hype. It was a little scary and daunting coming into 2022, being Super Bowl favorites and all that I think this team would much rather fly under the radar. I think they're good with it.
I completely agree. I think that Brad, that's one of the things that Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean really count on, specifically Sean McDermott. A lot of his talk is always about how, you know, this team's been counted out. Nobody said they could do it. And I think this will really be able to light a fire under the team and sort of, you know, say to them, like, hey, nobody does believe in you. You know, and right now, no one currently believes in this team. Like, let's go out there and do the whole dang thing.
And, you know, as they go into the season, part of OTAs was time with the media. And, you know, I thought it was good to hear Josh Allen talk about that. Basically, he's working on changing some things up with his mechanics and just trying to fine-tune some stuff. That's great to hear out of your QB1. I mean, this is the kind of year where it's going to be Josh's show, and if they're led to the promised land, it's Josh Allen taking him there.
Yeah, 100%, Brad. It is the type of thing where you're going to go as far as the horse pulls. And Josh Allen is that horse. Without him, this team looks wildly different. You know, your expectations change. But with him, he is one of the top five, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. And so it's one of those things where, you know what, you gotta put your faith in that guy.
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find us across our social media on Facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House, at DraftHouseSports.com, and across X at DHS Buffalo. Find Alex at TW Callahan DHS. You can find me at Bills Bruiser. All right, going into training camp, we're still a little ways out, but I got to ask, Alex, what are you most excited to see out of the Bills? What position battles are you looking forward out of Bills camp?
I mean, wide receiver number one, getting to see how Keon Coleman looks, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, how all these guys look is, to be honest with you, a very exciting thing. So I'm really excited to see how, you know, this wide receiver group looks. Number two, actually, I think is the defensive line. There seems to be quite a few young guys on this team who, you know, have some really interesting like, are some really interesting options along the defensive line. And I feel like one of them is going to be a guy who kind of, stands out, you know, who brings something that none of the other brought. And I think there's some guys who have the potential to be very good offensive linemen. And then the third group is the linebackers. And obviously with the defensive linemen, you want to see Vaughn Miller and Oliver, all those guys, see how Greg Rousseau has continued, AJ Epenesa, but, linebackers are third. You know, what kind of improvements has Bernard made over the season? How's Matt Milano's recovery doing? What does Baylen Specter, what does everyone who's behind or around them in the order, like, what, you know, what's going on with them at the moment? And so, you know, it's just going to be really exciting to see that those groups come together, where, yes, there is a little bit of a concern for the Bills, you know, not as much if those guys, you know, if the people in those positions take a big step forward.
With the wide receiver group, I'm interested in how some of these guys' late additions to the team do for the Bills this year, i.e. Chase Claypool. That's a big one. This is a guy who, you know, is looking to redeem himself. He had a strong rookie year in Pittsburgh, didn't pan out there, was traded to Chicago, basically got kicked out of the building. Now he's back in the league after a year in Miami last year, after he got booted out of Chicago. He's back in the AFC East, and this is kind of his last shot. That I'm curious to see if this guy is going to turn it on, or if this is just it for him.
Yeah, and it seems like he's kind of taking it in stride. He really, you know, through the times he's been able to speak to the media, it seems like he's really grown as a player. Seems like he's somebody who, you know, came into the league with one idea and really had that idea of self broken down and build himself back up from the ashes. You know, he was this guy who had all the promise in the world, was a candidate for Rookie of the Year his first year, and all of a sudden now he can't find a team to be on. So it's going to be interesting to see what him, Justin Shorter, Andy Isabella, there's a bevy of guys on the squad who I'm really interested to see how they take advantage of some of the opportunities they may not have had previously with Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs being on this team.
One guy, another addition here, a late addition, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who last played for Kansas City, was a member of the Packers where he was most productive. Curious to see how he plays in the role. A lot of big bodied targets here. I mean, look at this. Valdes-Scantling, 6'4". Justin Shorter, 6'4". Tyrell Shavers, 6'4". Matt Collins comes in at 6'4". Keon Coleman, 6'4". Chase Claypool, 6'4". We talked about it on one of our previous podcasts here. The notion of the Smurfs in Western New York, that notion is gone.
Yeah, and I think each of those guys offers something slightly different. Valdes-Scantling is a straight down the field burner. Claypool offers you some of the dirtier side, like the dirty part of it. He can,
like,
get
the
in 50, there, 50 get in
and,
between the numbers, yeah, and really get you the ball. He loves blocking. He was a special teamer in Pittsburgh. That's how he made a name for himself at Notre Dame. Keon Coleman is a jump ball specialist. He's going to be able to fight through the defender and get up there while having some good top end speed. And Shorter's a wild card. You know, he's one of those guys that, while yes, he did have, you know, some moments of brilliance at Florida, it never really progressed into a long-term huge thing. So, you know, it's seeing if he can live up to that five-star rating.
Now, one of the things that I'm really interested in seeing, too, position battle-wise, is cornerback specifically, not just defensive back, but specifically cornerback. I mean, this is a team without Trey White, who was, you know, one of their leaders, but had battled injuries down the stretch. You know, Teron Johnson is, you know, one of the most experienced guys in that backfield. He's been with the franchise all seven of his years. I'm curious to see on the development of this. You know, Christian Benford obviously has taken a big step forward. But is this where Kaiir Elam, you know, kind of gets back in the mix and we see him fighting for a starting role on this team? I mean, I'm extremely interested in the cornerback battles at camp.
Yeah, I am too, Brad. You know, it seems like it's kind of Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford's job to have. It seems like Kaiir Elam is like the one right after them, but they have a lot of guys that'll be interesting to see what they bring. And I'm really interested. Apparently, reports out of OTAs were that Elam was doing a good job. He was mixing it up, playing a very physical game. And I think that has to do possibly with the switch in defensive backs coach. Our current defense back coach, his name escaped me, is from a more press style. He lets his cornerbacks get up in guys' faces and really, you know, get physical with them, mm-hmm. which I would not be shocked if you see that from the Buffalo Bills this year. The Bills they have some big, strong corners. You know, they have some absolute beasts there. Rasul Douglas is there, and Kaiir Elam are there. And if Kaiir Elam and, you know, and not Benford, Rasul Douglas, you could run a press, even if it's a zone, you could still run a press cover too with those two. And those are two very big, very physical cornerbacks.
And I don't know if it was the corners coach that you were referring to, but the safeties coach is Joe Dana, and then the corner coach, I just had him pulled up here. It's going to drive me nuts.
He played at LSU.
Jamil Adade.
And I believe it was Adade that was talking about at camp how, or at OTAs, how, you know, he comes from a, you know, a different philosophy. Where he lets his corners get up in the guy's face and play a little more physical, which, to be honest with you, for Kaiir Elam is, you know, a really good scenario for him. That's what he would prefer to do.
Had the chance to meet him last year. Real impressive young man, really presents himself well. I really would like to see him make an impact on this roster because, you know, there's been buzz. You know, maybe this is a guy who just isn't going to cut it, that we're going to have to trade. I feel like that he's been a project, a guy who's going to take a little bit longer, but if they're patient and they're willing to go ahead and keep him on this roster and let him continue to fight, they may just continue to push and squeeze out the best in him, and that's what I'm hoping for.
And it is always a talk with these super athletic physical corners. It does take a little bit to progress those guys. You know, it takes them a little more time to get ready for the NFL than, let's say, your classic zone corner, because a classic zone corner, you know, while there are nuances and it's an incredibly difficult position, you know, you're not judging a single man and judging where he's going to go on the field by subtle body movements and learning all these different intricacies of man coverage. So I could see a situation where Kaiir Elam comes out in his third year and shows everyone why he was drafted so highly in the NFL draft.
Bills training camp was announced this week, and starting on the 25th, season ticket members will have a chance to get the season, the training camp pre-sale. So we will see. There's going to be a separate season ticket member for the red and blue game coming up. That's on August 2nd. So. And then there's also a public lottery, which you can enter as well. So the dates of training camp right now, it'll kick off Wednesday the 24th, a 9:45 start. It'll be open to the public every day, Thursday, Friday. No Saturday practice, back on Sunday the 28th, Monday the 29th, Tuesday the 30th, and then the 1st of August, no practice on the 31st. And then the red and blue game is back here, open to the public. That'll be on Friday the 2nd. Looking forward to that one as well. And then they're back at St. John Fisher the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 8th. So the only closed practice they have is on Monday, August 5th. So that's the training camp schedule coming up from St. John Fisher College up there in Rochester. And I'm hoping to go this summer. Would really like, I've, you know, sat on this podcast in the past, Alex, and I've just had to listen and marvel at your tales from training camp in the past. I'm hoping I get to participate this year, but my feelings won't be hurt if not. I hope I can make it to the red and blue scrimmage.
Yeah, that's one I'm looking at coming to as well. It, you know, that one's always such a fun time. And it seems it gets a little more, there's a little more juice to it. You know what I mean? There's a little more zhuzh.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you get the fans turned down in that one. The aisles are clogged with kids trying to get autographs down there. I mean, all in all, it's a fun affair. I went to my first one last year and look forward to it again. But, yeah, some exciting things to look forward to as we kind of make our way down the stretch and get into the season here. Other things that you're looking forward to as we start to get to the progressions of summer and, you know, try to inch closer towards fall where football season will kick off?
Yeah, just seeing more and more of those fantasy teams come together, you know, getting ready for that kind of thing. Just everything with getting ready for fall is just so much fun. Rolling into football season always feels really good.
Now, one thing I didn't touch on that I meant to when we're talking wide receivers here, Khalil Shakir sustained a lower body injury, and they held him out the rest of OTAs. I don't know. From how I read that, it sounds precautionary to me. I don't think there's anything to be concerned about.
I don't think so either, Brad. That does, I agree. It really doesn't sound like much of a much.
All right. Well, the Buffalo Bills will get set. Training camp is coming up at the end of July, the 24th through August 8th. Preseason games will follow there. I know the Bears are coming to town on the 10th. So, yeah, lots of fun to look forward to. And we'll be with you for the ride throughout the course of this summer, getting you ready for the Buffalo Bills 2024 season. Any final thoughts this week here, Alex?
Just headed into the year, Brad. You know, it's always exciting. Make sure if you're going to training camp, drink a lot of water ahead of time. It's going to be really hot. You're in direct sun. There's no cover from the shade. And if you're getting there early, just a small tip, if you're somebody who's like autograph hunting or anything like that, I recommend parking. There's two houses right in front of St. John Fisher that you can pay to park in. I know it's better, you know, it's not as good as the free shuttle, but it gets you direct access to the field. And if you're looking at, you know, possibly going with somebody smaller who wants those autographs and wants a good seat, that's the easiest way to do it.
Good to know. All right. Well, we'll look into that here as the Bills will get set for training camp coming up here in the end of July. Right now, here we are in June and a ways to look forward to, but we'll look forward to counting down to the Buffalo Bills season here in 2024. For Alex Jones, I'm Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn. This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An R Street Media production.